Amen. This is my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And when you get there, say amen. John chapter 8. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Are y'all there yet? Amen. I just move you. Are we there yet? Amen. Look at verse number 34. Verse 34. Amen. The Bible says in verse 34, Jesus answered and said unto them. Just give me just 1 second. I'm sounding too bassy up here. That means I need to give myself a little bit of bus. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto them. Jesus answered them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abided not in the house forever. But the Son abideth forever. King James says ever. And then verse 36 says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free. What? Indeed. The Bible says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. And as I've already mentioned today, like any other 4th of July, we celebrate Independence Day. And American citizens all over the world are celebrating and recognizing our independence. Are y'all still with me this morning? People are having cookouts. People are on vacation. People are even taking vacation from the church because they say it's the 4th of July. People are fellowshipping all over the place. Amen. But while we are celebrating, okay, while they are celebrating, we must not forget, as I've mentioned before, the many, many sacrifices that have been made for us to celebrate. Because contrary to unpopular belief, freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. There are many sacrifices that had to be made in the past, and there are many sacrifices that are being made today for us to maintain our freedom. So once again, we must not forget the sacrifices, the many sacrifices that have been made, you know, many, many years ago as well as today, because freedom is not free. And as I mentioned, many people are making sacrifices even now so we can continue to enjoy the freedom of this nation. Are you all still with me? Amen. But the greatest sacrifice that has ever been made is God sacrificing his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and to die on the cross for me over 2,000 years ago. Y'all still with me? Amen. That's the greatest sacrifice for freedom that has ever been made. Amen. Because John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world, not just me, but the world, that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The greatest sacrifice that has ever been made, amen. And Jesus shared the power of the sacrifice right here in the series of scriptures that we just read. He shared the power of the sacrifice. Look at what he said once again in verse number 34. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or slave or in bondage to sin." And he said, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever." In other words, he says, the servant or the slave or whoever in bondage does not have a permanent role in the house. They're not permanent. But he said, but the son abideth forever. And he says, if the son, therefore, shall make you free. He said, if the son shall make you free, then you are free indeed. And not only are you free indeed, because the son abideth forever, that means you can be free forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus died on the cross for me so I can be free, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just on Monday, but free forever. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. And how many of you know that through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection, Jesus presented to us a special kind of freedom? See, the special kind of freedom that Jesus presented to us is a spiritual freedom where we can be reunited to God, or we can serve God. He presented to us a spiritual freedom. And how many of you know there's no greater freedom than a spiritual freedom? Y'all still with me? And that freedom had been lost when Adam and Eve sinned. See? That freedom had been lost. But because of Jesus, because of his death, because of his burial, because of his resurrection, he has presented to us a spiritual freedom. The reason why I say presented to us is because it's a choice that man have to make. He has done all that he needed to do. He has presented that freedom to us. Y'all still with me? Because see, before Adam and Eve sinned, they were spiritually connected to God. In other words, they had the God nature, or the nature of God. They were spiritually connected to God. But after Adam and Eve sinned, they went from the God nature to the sin nature, or Satan nature. They went from the God nature to the Satan nature. They went from spiritual life to spiritual death. In other words, they were spiritually separated from God. That's why God had to put them out of the garden. They could no longer stay there. Why? Because they went from the God nature to the sin nature. And how many of you know that everyone who is born into this world today is born into the sin nature? Let me say it this way. Everyone who is born a natural birth, okay, is born into the sin nature, because Jesus Christ was born a supernatural birth. But everyone is born into the sin nature because of Adam and Eve's sins, which means that we must be born again. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. When we're born into this world, we are automatically born in the sin nature. Or listen, under the dominance of sin, or the dominion of Satan. All because of Adam and Eve's sin. But how many of you know, because of Jesus, we don't have to stay there? Good God Almighty. We do not have to stay there. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for us. And because of the power of his sacrifice, because of what he did for us, over 2,000 years ago, when we accept him as Lord and Savior, we receive the power to move from the sin or Satan nature back to the God nature. In other words, instead of being spiritually separated from God, once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become back spiritually connected to God because of Jesus. What a major sacrifice. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are y'all still with me? We move from spiritual death to spiritual life. And once again, the Bible says, who the Son sets free or makes free, then he said make, is free indeed. And as long as I am in Jesus, I can be free forever. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, I mentioned to you that earlier that, you know, American citizens all over the world are celebrating their freedom right now, or later on today or tomorrow for the 4th of July. But how many, you know, once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are not just American citizens, we are citizens of the kingdom. Good God Almighty. I don't know about you, but I would rather be a citizen of the kingdom. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go with me, please, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We are citizens of the kingdom. Why? Because the Bible says, who the Son makes free is free indeed. It's free indeed. Philippians. What a mighty God we serve. We are not only an American citizens, we are citizens of the kingdom. Jesus Christ died so we could be free. Well, Pastor, free from what? Well, free from serving sin or under the dominion of sin, and free from being controlled by Satan. We are free spiritually to serve God. Are y'all still with me? Are you at Philippians chapter 3 yet? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 17. The Apostle Paul is talking to Christians at Philippi. Look at what he said here. He said, brethren, are y'all there yet? I'll give you a chance to get there. All I want to rush. I'm excited about this message today because I'm free. Amen. He said, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. He says in verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. How many know Christ has some enemies? And then the Bible says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He says, for our conversation, King James says conversation, NIV says citizenship. He says, for our citizenship is heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord who? Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus has come into this world, and by us accepting him as our Lord and Savior, he has relocated us or have given us a new citizenship. How many of you know that you are a citizen if you are a Christian? If you're not, you can be one today. But you are a citizen of the kingdom. And there is no better citizenship than to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, not because of what we've done, not because of how much money we have in our pocket, not because of our status, but because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by us just accepting him as our Lord and Savior, we become citizens of the kingdom. You tell me there's no power in the resurrection. We have so much power from Jesus Christ that we don't even realize how much power we have. Y'all still with me? Because we need it. We need it, special power to be freed from the dominion of Satan. We need it, special power to become the sons of God or children of God. It wasn't automatic. We needed this special power. And this special power only came from Jesus. Why? Because God loved us so much that he sacrificed his only begotten son. I mentioned to you earlier, freedom is not free. And there are many people who are still in spiritual bondage right now. Why? Because they have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And there are reasons for that, and I'm going to tell you as we move along in the lesson. Are y'all still with me this morning? See? Because once again, the special power that we receive by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior did many things for us, but it's two things I'm going to focus on. Number one, it brought us into the family of God. In other words, we became sons of God or children of God. And number two, it released us from the dominion of the sin nature. When I say sin nature, I like to say the Satan nature. Because the nature of Satan is sin. And Jesus said that we do not have to be controlled by sin anymore or by Satan anymore, because who the Son sets free is free, what? Indeed. In other words, the word indeed means, hey, there's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. See, sometimes you might think you're free from something, then you're right back in bondage to it. Your supervisor may tell you that you're off on Monday. I'm free, I don't have to go to work Monday. Then they call you and say, guess what, something came up, you have to come to work. Are y'all still with me? But Jesus said, who the Son, do what? Now he didn't say no set. He said, who the Son makes free is what? Free indeed. That's right, see? Because see, the word set to me is like a TV set. People can change your channel. See, you can be happy one day, somebody can say something to you, now they change your channel to the sad channel. You could be joyous, and somebody may change your channel, say something to you, and then they turn your channel to the depressed channel. But how many of you know who the Son makes free? They can do anything they want to. They can say anything they want to. They can act in the way they want to act. You are still free. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Well, Pastor, I don't feel free. But you are. If you are a child of God. Why? Because that's what Jesus died for. Are y'all still with me? Two things. Number one, gave us the power to be children of God. Number two, gave us the power, or the power released us from the dominion of Satan. I want you to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. That's why I want you to have your Bibles, because everything I say, I bag it up with the word. John chapter 1. Jesus came that we be free from sin, free from the dominion of Satan, free from being afraid to die. Many people are afraid to die. I just don't know what's going to happen when I die. Well, listen, if you're a child of God, guess what? Who the Son makes free is free indeed. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Prison's afraid to die. Afraid to die. For what? The Bible says, for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I want to be with Jesus. Amen. I told you to go to John chapter 1, didn't I? Amen. In John chapter 1, and you didn't have to turn far because we're already there. The Bible tells us in chapter 1, I just want to read some of this. The Bible says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. He said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighted up every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Talking about the Word. And then the Bible says here, he came into his own, and his own received him not. I want you to pay attention to verse number 12. The Bible says, but as many as did what? Received him. Received who? The word. Now we know that based on previous studies that when Jesus was in heaven, his name was not Jesus. He was called the word. That's why the Bible says in the beginning was the word. And then verse 14 tells us the word was made what? Flesh and dwelt among us. And when he dwelt among us, they didn't call him the word. They called him Jesus. But I want you to go back to verse number 12. Because verse 12 says, but as many as received him. Notice what that verse did not say. Notice that verse did not say there was a selected few who could receive him. It didn't say there was an elected few. It says to many that received him. Once again, we saw the scripture where the Bible says, for God so loved who? The world. That's everybody. So the Bible says, for as many as received him, that means that some people didn't receive him. Y'all still with me? It says, but as many as received him, to them who? The ones that received him. To them gave he what? To become what? He gave them what? To become what? So in other words, if Jesus Christ was never crucified, if he had never died, if he had never been buried, if he was never resurrected, he could not give us the power to be sons of God. That's why Jesus says, who I set free is free indeed. Because no one can change this power that I have given to them that believe on my name, okay, or to them that received me. He said, no one can change that. So once again, we're not saved because of how we look. We're not saved because of our status. We are saved because Jesus gave us the power to be translated from the darkness into his marvelous light. He gave us the power to be moved from the Satan or sin nature to the God nature, to be children of God. Are y'all still with me? I told you we needed a special power. And that power only came from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that power, we have become children of God. And as children of God, we are no more under the dominion of sin. We are no more under the dominion of Satan. Pastor, you just making that up. Well, I'm glad you said that. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I tell you, we need a special power. And that special power did two things. Well, it did many things. It's still doing things. But number one, it gave us the power to be children of God when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And number two, it released us from the bondage of sin and Satan. All because we accepted him as Lord and Savior. What a mighty God we serve. See, I believe we shouldn't just celebrate Jesus on the 4th of July. We need to celebrate every day. Not just on Sunday or Wednesday or Monday, but every day. Because Jesus Christ died so we could be freed from sin, from bondage, from under the dominion of Satan. See, Christians, one thing that we need to understand is that although the people in the Old Testament, God gave them the Ten Commandments, and had, Moses and people leading them, to keep them from being rebellious. They had the sin nature. They had the nature of sin. They couldn't do right even if they wanted to. They had the nature of sin. And that's why when Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me, and he said, it is finished, he was talking about their sin nature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we're not going to go there for the second time. The Bible says that God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness in God in him. See, Jesus didn't just die on the cross. He changed some things in the spirit world. Are you all still with me? People go, Jesus Christ died on the cross. A lot of people died on the cross. But they did not have the power, good God Almighty. They did not have the power for us to become sons of God. A lot of people died on the cross back then. Not just the two guys on his right and left. People got crucified before that because that's how they did capital punishment back in those days. But Jesus didn't come just to die on the cross. He came to die, to give his life for you and for me so we could be free from the enemy. We could be free from sin nature. We could be free from the dominion of Satan because once again, who the Son makes free is free indeed. Are y'all still with me? Look at verse number 4. This is Paul talking to the Romans, the Christians at Rome. Talking about Jesus. Verse number 7, chapter 6. Okay, we start with verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. He says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. See, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are dead to yourself. And you have a new life in Christ Jesus. In other words, you went from spiritual death to spiritual life. Are y'all still with me? That's what water baptism signifies. It signifies the fact that you are dying to self and you being raised newness of life. In other words, you're not the same when you go down. You're different when you come up. But that's symbolic, okay? Because some people go down a wet devil and they come up a wetter devil. So water baptism does not save anybody. But what saves us is when we make the decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a spiritual change that happens on the inside. Are y'all still with me? So when you accept Jesus, you are dying to self. And you are being raised in newness of life by the power of the resurrection that makes us children of God. Have I confused anybody? It's very important for us to know that. And look at verse number 7 again. The Bible says, for he that is dead is free from what? That means that at one time, I must not have been free from sin. Sin must have had control over me. Sin must have had dominance over me. Sin must have had dominance over you before you became a Christian. Because the Bible says that for he that is dead is free from sin. And look at verse 8. It says, now if we be dead with who? Christ. See, once you accept Jesus, I have to stop and teach this. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get credit for Jesus' death. You get credit for it. In other words, you change. There's a change. See, Jesus represented all mankind. Adam represented mankind, but he messed up. And when Satan thought, I got him now, God put me out of heaven, I got him now, I got Adam. Little did he know that God had a better plan for mankind, and that plan is Jesus. Are you all still with me? Here we go. Once again, he says, now we be dead with Christ. We believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth what? No more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Christians, if you are a child of God, death, if you are afraid to die, that means death have dominion over you. And if death have no more dominion over Jesus, if you are a child of God, it shouldn't have no more dominion over you. Why? Because if you are a child of God, when you leave here, you're going to be with Jesus. So what you afraid of? Now, people worry about all kinds of stuff. Well, you know, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, you know. Sometimes we talk about cremation. People, I want to be cremated. Listen, I told my wife before, hey, man, this is my preference. I want to cremate me. I don't want to be no Catholic. I want to cremate me. Why? Because it don't matter where my body goes. It's coming back when Jesus comes back. But my spirit's going to be with Jesus, the real me. Are you all still with me? Don't be afraid to die. Death shouldn't have no more dominion over you because death came as because of sin. Man died spiritually. And spiritual death is the parent of natural death. My daughter was just talking about this a couple of days ago. The Bible says the last enemy destroyed is death. So death is an enemy of God. And the Bible says death have no more dominion over Jesus, he have no more dominion over you. Let's keep reading. Amen. It says, for in, verse 10, for in that he died to sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. This is for you, verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, before, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were alive to sin and spiritually dead to God. But because of the blood of Jesus, because of the resurrection, because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because of the greatest sacrifice that has ever been made, now we become dead to sin and alive in who? Christ. That makes me excited. Amen, amen, amen. And look at what the Bible says here. It said, once again, verse 11, likewise reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness into sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And verse 14 tells us why not to do that. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over who? You. For you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. God's grace in God's mercy. I want to go back to verse number 12. It said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. That means that if the Bible tells us to not to let something happen, that means we have control over it. Let me say that again. If the Bible tells us not to let something happen, that means we have control over whether we let it happen or not. Christians, what I'm trying to get you to see is this. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of the Son made us free, and we are free indeed, Satan or sin have no more dominance over us. Uh-oh. So what that means is that when we sin, we choose to. It's a choice. It's a problem with self-control. Now, don't get me wrong. Nobody's perfect. We all mess up from time to time. That's why we need Jesus. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus washes our sin away. But we should not be controlled by sin. We should not be under the dominion of sin anymore. We should not be under the dominion of Satan. And see, one problem that Christians make when they mess up, they always, I'm not going to even say blame Satan, they give him credit. Because see, we think we're blaming him, but he like for us to blame him. He like for us to know that Satan attacked. He ride my back. He doing it. He like for us to say that. Satan made me do it. No, you made yourself do it. The problem is that we have a problem yielding to temptation. But the Bible tells us when we are tempted, God will make a way of escape so we are able to bear the temptation. Are y'all still with me? See. Lack of self-control, listen to this, of the flesh always leads to sin. But so when we sin, it's not because it's controlling us. Now, those who have not accepted Jesus Christ, they are still under the dominion of sin. They are still under the dominion of Satan. That's why the Bible said we must be born again. But for Christians, we're not under the dominion of Satan anymore. We're not under the dominion of sin anymore. Why? Because Jesus says, who the Son makes free is free indeed. Are y'all still with me? See, the whole purpose of Jesus coming was to loose us and set us free or make us free from the dominion of sin and the dominion of Satan. That's his whole purpose for coming. And when we find ourselves falling short, we go to God through Jesus. We talked about this last Sunday. That's his whole purpose for coming. I mean, other than that, he didn't have to come. But he came so we could be free. Not in bondage, but free. Are y'all still with me? That's why he came. Once again, freedom is not free. A sacrifice had to be made. And the only sacrifice that could have been made to free us from the spirit of darkness and bring us into Jesus, into his marvelous life, light or the kingdom of God's dear Son, a supernatural sacrifice had to be made, and the only one that could make that sacrifice was Jesus. Why? Because he was not born in this world a natural birth. He was born a supernatural birth. And if Jesus Christ had been born a natural birth, meaning without the aid of a mother and a father, there was nothing he could do for us. But because he was born a supernatural birth, he was born with no sin. Made a sacrifice for you and me so we could be free. And once again, who the Son makes free is free indeed. Good God Almighty, amen, amen, amen. Jesus came so we could be free. I want you to go to 1 John. 1 John. Not St. John, but 1 John. He came so we could be free. To free us from the dominion of Satan and to free us from the dominion of sin. The Bible says sin has no more dominion over us. But it used to. 1 John, are you there yet? If you're looking for a title for today's message, I haven't even given it to you. It's called The Greatest Sacrifice for Freedom. The greatest sacrifice for freedom. Amen, amen, amen. The greatest sacrifice for freedom. Are you at 1 John yet? Good God Almighty. I couldn't free myself from sin. I couldn't free myself from the dominion of Satan. But the power of Jesus, the power of the resurrection. In 1 John, look at what the Bible says. In verse number 4, let's start there. The Bible says, whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. 1 John, chapter 3, I'm sorry. I used to be in Germany. Where I used to drive in the left lane all the time. I always drove fast, so I got to remember, slow down sometimes. Are we there? Chapter 3. Look at verse number 4. whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he, talk about Jesus, verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Verse 7 says, little children, let not man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 8 says, he that committed sin is of the who? The devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And the Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. For this purpose. Well, for what purpose? Well, for this purpose. This what purpose? What purpose? But for this purpose right here, he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the who? Devil. That he might destroy the works of the devil. When you see that word destroy, in the way we understand destroy, it's to tear up something. But that's not what it means right there. That he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy, right there, if you look it up in the Greek, is a word called luo, L-U-O. That word means to loose us and set us free from the works of the devil. And how many of you know the works of the devil is sin? Jesus was manifested that he might loose us and set us free from the works of the devil. And as a result, look at verse number 9. It says, so whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. I like the NIV. NIV says does not continue to sin. Okay? Whosoever is born of God does not continue to sin. Or will not continue to sin. For his seed remaineth in him. Talking about the seed of God. Talking about the power that Jesus gave us. And he cannot go on sinning. Talk about Christians. If we are Christians, the Bible says that we cannot go on sinning. If we really love Jesus, we can't go on. Yeah, we might mess up from time to time, but just willfully just sinning, just like we did before we got saved. If the Spirit of God is inside of us, we can't go on doing that. Guilt will eat us up. So we can't continue to do that because that's what Jesus delivered us from, the dominion of Satan and the dominion of sin. That's what he freed us from. And once again, Jesus himself says who the Son makes free is free indeed. So we can't go on doing that because we're not the same people who we used to be. Are y'all still with me? And look here. It says, in this verse 10, oh, I'm sorry, verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot continue to sin, because he is born of God. He said, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. There's that word love. Are y'all still with me? Once again, we're not the same who we used to be. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we received the power to be sons of God. In other words, when we received Jesus, we were released from the dominion of Satan and the dominion of sin. In other words, we were free. And once again, like I've said about 20 times already, who the Son makes free is free indeed. He came to loose us and set us free from the works of the devil, and by us accepting him as Lord and Savior, that's exactly what has taken place in the spiritual world. And instead of us being separated from God, we have become spiritually connected to God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are y'all still with me? He said, if the Son make us free, we are free indeed. That tells me that people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are not free. They are still under the dominion of sin. They are still under the dominion of Satan. And if the Son, if people know that if the Son makes them free, they're free indeed, then why wouldn't they want to be free? I remember a song they used to sing when I was young. I want to be free. That's the wrong kind of freedom. Are y'all still with me? If the people know that the Son will make them free, then what's the problem? Well, two reasons. Number one, they don't want to be free. They're having too much fun in the world. They think if they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they have to give up some things. Well, yes, you do. But when you give up some things, you get better things. They think if they accept Jesus, they gotta stop that party life, opening the club and closing it. Well, when they accept Jesus, they just might lose the desire for that party life. But they don't want to give it up. They're having too much fun in the world. But how many of you know there's life after death? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that whosoever receive him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That means everlasting life means a good life. That means that those who don't receive him is not going to have that life. They're going in the opposite direction. But they don't want to give it up. The second reason why people do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is because they don't know the benefits of Jesus dying on the cross for them. They don't know the benefits. They do not know the power that came behind the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They don't know. They don't know. And the reason why they don't know is because no one has ever told them. They don't know. No one's ever told them. Well, who are supposed to tell them? I mean, if they don't know, how can they accept Jesus if they don't know? Who are supposed to tell them? You know, that reminds me when I was studying this lesson yesterday, it reminds me of the holiday we just celebrated called June 10th. Y'all remember that? Anybody celebrate that? And, you know, President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation to free slavery way, way back in 1863 on January the 1st. Way, way back. But now we have a holiday here in Texas. Why? Because they found out about the slavery was freed 2.5 years later. They didn't know. Nobody told them. Because see, back during that time, the TV had not came out yet. The TV did not come out electronically until September the 7th, 1927. Listen, so they didn't have CNN News. They didn't have ABC. They did not have NBC. So, you know, it took a while to get information from one place to the other. They did not have Twitter. They did not have Facebook. Things back then. They didn't even have automobiles, the ones that we have today. So it took a while before General Granger read that executive to let them know, hey, this thing been done 2.5 years ago. Well, how could they be freed if they did not know? Well, how can people accept Jesus Christ today if they don't know? How could they do it? I mean, we have the TV. We have the internet. We have Twitter. And we definitely have Facebook. But we use those tools for the wrong thing. Where we should be using them to spread the word about Jesus, we on there gossiping. We break a toenail, we tell the whole world on Facebook. And then the whole world comes back again and say, well, put a Band-Aid on it. So what's our excuse? What's our excuse? Back then, they didn't have the means of communication that we have today. But what's our excuse? Why is it that people are taking so long to learn about Jesus when the Bible says that as Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. We are ambassadors. As a matter of fact, I am going for the sake of time. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to see this. What's the problem? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm almost done. I have about 8 minutes to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What's the problem? If people do not know about Jesus, if they do not know that God loves them, if they do not know that Jesus died for them, if they do not know that God is not holding sin against them, he loves them, he just hates sin. If they don't know that they could be freed, if they do not know who the Son makes free is free indeed, then how can they become free if they don't know Jesus, what he did for them? That means it's time for Christians to stop relaxing and to start doing what Jesus told us to do. In the book of Matthew, he said, go throughout the world and teach the gospel to all creatures. He said, I got mine. No, no, you got yours. That's not enough. The Bible says Jesus died for the world so the world could be free. And it's up to Christians to go out and tell the world. In other words, to go tell it on the mountain. Just Jesus Christ died for them. Are y'all still with me? What are we waiting for? Are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Look at verse number 17. We'll start there just since we're there. Are you there yet? The Bible says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are what? Passed away. All things are what? Become new. And all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to go to verse number 20. Verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for who? Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I said verse 21 earlier, for God has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, we are ambassadors for Christ, and an ambassador is a high-ranking representative that goes and spreads the messages that came from a higher representative. In other words, if you are a son of God, if you are a child of God, you're not little anymore, you're high-ranking in God's sight. Because when God looks at you, he looks at you through the eyes of Jesus. You are a high-ranking, and as Christians, it is our responsibility to take the message from the higher ranking to those who have not heard about him yet. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, how is all going to come to repentance? How is all going to be free if Christians do not go tell them that Jesus died for them? How is that going to happen? Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not going to happen. And it's been more than 2.5 years. And there are many people out there right now that they know Jesus died on the cross, but they do not know what it means to them. Why? Because we as Christians, to include myself, we do not take time to go tell it on the mountain so they can be free. And not only so they can be free, but so they can be free indeed. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Because God wants everyone to be free. But see, instead of us using our mouth to spread the good news of Jesus, we are using our mouth to spread corrupt communication and conversation, to talk about people, to put them down. Instead of encouraging the person who don't know Jesus, we talk about them. Look at this scrum. Look at this scrum. They need to come to church. They need to get their act together. You need to come to church. You need to get yourself. God is love. Why not look at them the way God sees them? We look at them, oh, you ain't nothing. Get out of my face. I'm a child of the King. Oh, we need to be telling them about Jesus, that God is love, that God's not upset with you. He doesn't like sin, but he loves you, that Jesus died for you, that you can be free. And when God makes you free, you're free indeed. That's what we need to be telling them. We need to be edifying, because that's what the Bible tells us to do, to lift people up. Let them see our light shine. Jesus said, let your light shine before men, so they can come to God. Because once again, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But we use our mouth for the wrong reason. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm almost done. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible warns us against using our mouth for the wrong reasons. Ephesians chapter 4. Two books over from where you are. Ephesians 4. We need to start doing what the Word of God tells us to do. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have to remember that we haven't always been saved. Look what the Bible says here very quickly in verse number 29, chapter 4 of Ephesians. The Bible says, let no what? Corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace unto who? The hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. How many know the good gospel is good? And the good gospel is what we should be ministering out of our mouth. That Jesus died so we could be made free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to show you one more scripture and I'm going to close. Paul was talking to Pastor Titus. And Paul gave Pastor Titus some advice. And he also gave him some instructions. I want you to go there. I'm almost done. This is the last scripture we're going to. I want you to go to Titus. If you're not sure where it's at, go to your table or contents. Excuse me. But I can tell you, it's right there by Timothy. Go to Titus. It's only 2 pages. Paul was talking to Titus. See, Christians, we have to always remember that we have not always been saved. Some obedient ambassadors gave the message to us. Some obedient ambassador. Maybe it was your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your grandfather, granddad, great-great uncle, great-great-great, whoever, so your friend. Some obedient ambassador gave the word of Jesus to us, and that's why we're Christians today. Now it's time for us to give it to someone else. I'm closing with this. Are you still with me? Paul is talking to Titus, Pastor Titus. He told him in verse number 11, chapter 2, he says, for the grace, are y'all still with me? He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to some men. Has appeared to every 30 people. He said all men, right? That means men and women. It says, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with authority. Let no man despise you. He continued on in chapter 3. He says, put me and put them in mind to be subject to the people who are over them, the authority over them, okay? Principalities and powers. He's not talking about satanic. He's talking about people over them. And be ready to every good word. Look at verse 2. To speak evil of no man, and be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This is where I want you to get to verse 3. Look what verse 3 says. He reminded Timothy. He said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, servers, lust, and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. In other words, he told Timothy, we haven't always been saved. We was just like the unsaved at one time. He said, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of generation and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Stand to your feet. Christians, I'm here to tell you. The Bible says who the Son makes free is free indeed. Yesterday we celebrate Independence Day. It's a great day. But we should also be celebrating the freedom that Jesus Christ has brought to us through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And not only should we be celebrating that freedom, we should tell someone else about Jesus and tell someone else about Jesus and tell someone else about Jesus so they can have the opportunity to celebrate their freedom also. Because there are many people in the world, even in this community right now, who are still in spiritual darkness. They are still under the dominion of sin. They are still being controlled because they are falling under the dominion of Satan. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus wants them to be free also, because once again, just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, he said, who the Son makes free is free indeed, and they can be free forever. Amen? Somebody give God a hand of praise because he's worthy.